Welcome back to the Fostering Financial Victories podcast. My name is Eric. I'm your host. I am joined today by two of our team members from Foster Victor, Shannon Dermody and Garrett Heyer. So thanks for joining us, guys. We're going to talk about giving some folks some ammunition for the holidays. So I want to set this up before we kind of get into it, but the three most uncomfortable topics during Thanksgiving lunch or dinner always revolve around what? Religion, money, and politics.
And the order, it flips and changes kind of based on what your family dynamic is.
So what we're going to talk about today is really the importance and maybe the lack of attention that's been done with generational discussions around money as it relates to parents or grandparents and, you know, the younger generations. So we're going to talk about some of the things that we have seen inside of our office. Maybe give me some hints on how do you bring that conversation up and make it less uncomfortable as it probably will be. So let's get into it. How do we start this conversation? So we're sitting at the Thanksgiving table and all of a sudden we want to talk about money with mom and dad or grandma and granddad.
There has to be some level of context around, has your family talked about it before? Has it always been the elephant in the room that's pushed over to the corner? I mean, from there, you kind of have a jumping off point. And Eric, I know you and I have recently dealt with some family experience that have talked about, is it ever too late? No, it only becomes too late if you didn't talk about it.
Yeah, so maybe we start there. From a what happens if someone passes away, someone dies, and then all of a sudden everyone's, you know, left proverbially holding the bag on the financial aspects, trying to basically sort through the things that the other generation did, trying to figure it out. So what are some challenges there, and how could we hopefully avoid some of that?
Yeah, I mean, it can be as simple as once an event has taken place, you're locked out from bank accounts. You don't have visibility to things, and
you might not even know they exist.
Yeah,
I think that's the biggest one is that people generally are pretty closed off when this topic comes up, and especially if you know you're a younger generation is inquiring to the elder statesman of the family. Hey, what have you done? Mm-hmm. What do you have in place? What do you want to have done? I think that's the biggest thing is. You know, right. You don't know what they would have liked you to do if you don't talk about it.
Right. Yeah. And that was one of the things that I was thinking about is if you can broach that conversation with like, hey, if you got to choose for me how I should approach money, like, is that going to be, happiness, legacy, charity? If you had to pick between those things, what would you want me to do? And then that kind of opens the conversation, but makes the asker a little more vulnerable.
I mean, I think that humanizes the conversation. The other thing it does is it also, you're not asking to say, hey, let me see every bank account. Let me see every statement. Right. Let me see all the detail. You've teed up, hey, if you're not willing to share those details, do you at least have a record of where all this stuff is and kind of what this looks like from a packaging perspective?
Yeah, so I think that maybe is where a lot of people get it wrong. Is they start getting into the details of, hey, tell me how much money you have.
Yeah.
How much are you worth? All right, well, you'll find out eventually.
Yeah.
However, that's probably not the greatest way to start that conversation. Maybe it's a discussion around, hey, can you tell me a little bit about what you have put in place and what should happen once you die? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the starting point to make it a little less invasive. But I guess what are some things that initially would be helpful for the younger generation to be aware of?
Go ahead. I mean, I think from a just a general financial perspective, I mean, it's what's in place from a legal perspective. So if something does happen, you've got documents that say, okay, here we're family member or mom and dad's wants and wishes, and that's going to be a will or a trust style document. But from there, it's maybe a general ledger of what accounts are in place. Where does money come in from? If it's a pension or some form of a structured payment type scenario, I think it's just having a general ledger of stuff. And I guess it could be as simple as a balance sheet. And from there, just providing, I don't know, some level of guidance to say, here's what you need to go look for. Here's a place to go look. I mean, is it all kept in a safe?
And what's the combination, perhaps?
You know, you bring up the legal documents. Yeah. Having the access to it's a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. Knowing where to access the details from there, is there an attorney that's in place that's pretty active? Do you actually have the will? Okay, so that's something I've noticed. There's no original will that's floating around right now from some people that I've talked to. So they're a little concerned that maybe that thing pops up later and what's in it? We don't know. Yeah.
And if it's popped up, if it is located, what is in it now, what you actually want to have happen, or the people that are named in it, the ones you want helping you make decisions.
Are they still alive? Mm-hmm. Right. So maybe that's a starting point, is just kind of broaching that conversation with, just tell me what you've, give me some structure.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of give me some basic structure. And as Shannon referenced, what do you want to have happen?
Right.
Help me help you provide a little bit of guidance.
Mm-hmm. What do you think from a legal document standpoint would be if your parents, let's say they haven't really done a lot of this, what should they do at a minimum? And I know you're not an attorney and neither of us are, but you know, we see enough of the oh no, we should have done A, B, and C.
Yeah. I mean, again, kind of going through this or living this with some family members currently, obviously a will or a trust document is kind of the document that everybody gravitates and thinks to. But as you start to speak specifically to financial things and decisions, it's probably durable power or durable powers of attorney, which essentially provides someone the ability to make financial decisions on anyone's behalf once they've been named in that document and met conditions that are worded in that document. And I think that's probably the most basic one. From there, though, you start to backstop things and say, were you named as a beneficiary on certain accounts? Were you given joint account privileges in those types of accounts where there's multiple people that have the ability to affect decision-making control? Because kind of a first-level perspective, if some of those things aren't in place, there may be a situation that's created where you're in decision-making control of what's supposed to happen from a familial perspective, but you don't have access to any of the financial pieces to make that stuff happen.
So maybe another thing would be helpful to have a listing of beneficiaries on accounts that have that sort of designation, mm-hmm. and who those people are. Mm-hmm. Okay. So why do you think the older generation, they are very hesitant about sharing these details?
I think obviously it could be perceived as greed if a younger person is asking about like what do you have? What am I going to get?
So greed from the younger side,
maybe? It could be perceived as that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's pretty callous if you're trying to do an accounting of like what you're going to get after your parents die.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
Yeah. So I think that if you're the one asking the questions, you just have to come from a place where you're being really genuine about it. Like, hey, and maybe if you are trying to ask those questions, own it, I guess. I mean, if that's how you feel, then that's on you. But
And I think the converse to that can even be an embarrassment, not from the person asking, but from the person receiving the question.
Absolutely. Like,
hey, there's been this image portrayed that everything's buttoned up financially. We're in a great place. But you kind of it's being real vulnerable with someone and say, here's actually what's here. Maybe this is or is not what you thought it was. It could be less than what maybe they're thinking it ultimately Absolutely. Was at a point in time. And so I think there's both sides of that equation. Mm. And I think every family or every situation is going to present differently.
Mm-hmm. So the vulnerability is key either way.
Absolutely.
From both sides, really. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, from what I've seen with clients who've handled this well, you know, the person who's approaching that discussion is someone who they know that it's all going to fall at their feet to clean up the mess, if there is a mess, right. when their older generation, you know, is no longer here. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the person that needs to have that discussion. And if there are multiple siblings in place, and depending on the, you know, the hierarchical nature of their family, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure every family is a little bit different. Everybody's got the one person that can bring up the tough conversations and the other ones that can't.
Yeah. And I think if the older generation feels like they haven't gotten stuff done that they should have maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that there's some amount of inertia and that they're scared to get started because they feel like, well, there's maybe no point or there's...
Well, they also may be a little bit intimidated about what do they need to do.
Right. Yep.
And I think that brings up a really valid point. In all of this, every family situation, every topic of this is going to present differently, but I don't think there's ever a scenario where it's too late to bring it up.
No.
I mean, whether it could be something as just simply adding someone in a joint position on an account. I mean, yeah, you may waterfall into it and more heavy lifting needs to be done around building documents or changing documents or having people installed in positions of power. But I mean, as far as it being too late to have those conversations, there are so many things that take a matter of minutes.
Right.
Conversations, writing wants and wishes down on a piece of paper that it may look like a mountain when the question is first posed, but it's really, hey, we can break this down. And there's a few things that are probably really easy and low rent from a cost perspective to actually get done.
Right. And so you get to the point where it might not get to a point where you're comfortable having that conversation, but it's been had.
Yeah.
But the more that you do normalize it, the easier talking through this can be, and then you might actually get to have some meaningful conversations too.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever a point where it gets really comfortable.
No.
Talking to older generations that you care about and about what happens. You know, it's a tough conversation to wrap your brain around anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough conversation, and frankly, a lot of what you're speaking about has only taken place after something that's tragic or emotionally taxing. Yeah. I mean, so we're talking, it's
super emotional.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, kind of thinking about why you should do this now, no emotions present.
Less
emotion is present. But also people are a little more rational.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right? So we all have seen when family members die that everybody kind of loses the ability to make decisions for a while. At least normal decisions that they would otherwise probably not make.
Yeah.
So if what should a younger person do if they get basically the Heisman when they bring this conversation up?
I think if they're not willing to have, so if a family member or someone you're approaching about this conversation isn't willing to have the conversation with you, who can you point them to where they are comfortable to have that conversation?
Okay.
Is it a financial professional? Is it another person who maybe is in their age bracket or has lived through the same series of life events that they have? But pointing them somewhere where you say, hey, if you can't have these conversations with me, is it a financial professional, a legal or estate planning professional, or a colleague that you feel comfortable engaging on this level?
Okay.
And then documenting some of it.
All right, so shameless plug here. Why don't we talk through our approach on this as it relates to having everybody in the room and essentially trying to defuse some of this emotion that comes up.
Right. And I think you can also bring it up as like, hey, this is what I've done. This is what I've worked on.
The
younger person. Like, this is what I've done. Like, is there anything that you would suggest doing differently? And you don't have to necessarily take that advice, but you're opening the conversation and putting it so that if they're used to giving you advice, you're putting them in a position to do that. And it may prompt them to like ask some questions of themselves. They might not share it with you, but that's different.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak personally. When I brought this conversation up with my parents individually, I got two totally different answers.
Mm-hmm.
And still to this day, and I've done this for over 10 years, and I still get the same kind of feedback. Yeah. One's really receptive, one's not so much. Like, you don't need to know that. Which, so for me, I see it personally. Garrett, talk through y'all's experience holding family-type meetings.
Yeah, I mean,
how that's played out.
And so, I mean, obviously, as our firm has developed and we've started to work through multi-generational family conversations, I mean, those family meetings can be a platform where it kind of takes a little bit of the edge off. I mean, I'm going to be even emotional about my money having a conversation with my wife or my parents.
Sure.
And it's impossible to kind of break those two apart. But in a family setting where if you can say, hey, mom and dad, maybe you're not comfortable speaking with me, but go speak with an Eric or someone else within a professional setting. It doesn't have to be Foster Victor, but it kind of bisects those two and says, okay, we're here to receive some level of clinical work, but there's another professional in the room that they can look to that's not blood or not kin or they've got a close familial relationship with.
Mm-hmm. Just mediate that discussion.
Absolutely.
So you've been in some meetings with a lot of people, family-wise. How have those discussions, those uncomfortable topics when they've been brought up, what have you seen to be the difference there versus, hey, if this was brought up around the kitchen table, this is probably not going to end well?
I think the invariable thing is there some moment of uncomfortability in those meetings, maybe the initial first 5 minutes, the first 10 minutes, of course. But I think it's one of those things where invariably we get to the backside of the meeting And there's this relief because not only did the parents want to talk about it, not only did the patriarch or matriarch want to talk about it, the kids wanted to engage the conversation too. They were just like, hey, we didn't understand that this was a format and a platform where we could have these conversations. So it's, is the awkward component there? Sure. But is once they've kind of seen, okay, there's a top of the mountain and we've crested this and we can have these conversations and not only had the first conversation, but then have an ongoing platform where we can do this, either with some frequency or know that if we need to address some of this stuff, there's a team that can help us do that. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's that relief on the backside. You're like, the mom and dad wanted to have the conversation. The son and daughter wanted to have the conversation. Just providing them an arena where it was safe to have the discussion.
Without emotion being, oh, well, ever present, maybe.
It's there. Hopefully we can push it over into the corner for a few moments of it.
All right, so.
Not going to duke it out with your advisor in the room.
Yeah, no, you'd wait until everybody gets outside. Yeah. Okay, so parents who are, obviously this conversation is going to be significantly different and more impactful if there's only one parent or grandparent still alive versus if there's two and you're going to have a surviving spouse in play. Mm-hmm. How should it be any different if health is a concern among parents, you know, whether it be now or, you know, impending?
Yeah, I mean, I think the health stuff creates another level or sense of urgency because health stuff can change quickly. And in the medical, once you start to position yourself to say, okay, there's a medical condition backstopping some of these decisions, at any point in time, a medical professional could step in and say, hey, it's too late for this person to have the capability to make these decisions. Right. So you kind of create a sense of urgency, but then it also brings into Shannon's original point, what do you want to have done? Mom, dad, mm-hmm. family member, like, how do you want this to be handled? And you've got documents that can say that, but documents are typically written in a form, it's pretty rigid, where there may be some wants and wishes and touchy-feely things that can only either be penned in handwriting mm-hmm. or had a conversation. So I think it layers in another layer of not only the mechanics of the financial side, but also now you have the health perspective, which creates a different dynamic working side by side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your point about having all that information, where are the accounts, who are the advisors, what's the combination of the safe, what do you want, like what is your plan for pet care, even that kind of thing, like random stuff that yeah. it's part of your day to day that you just handle. And then if suddenly you're in the hospital, what's going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, we can even go as far as how do you shut down your online presence? Mm-hmm. Right. So that's, yeah. Now, I mean, it used to be, it wasn't a big thing. And right. Most maybe older generations aren't quite as, you know, tuned in with that, but mm-hmm. still kind of a thing that you need to worry about. At this right. point, like yeah. how do you close it all off so that you're not mm-hmm. getting the, you know, the Nigerian prince hacking your online accounts,
Facebook
right?
account.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've got family members in their 80s that get emails and they now use it to keep in touch. But I can assure you that shutting that down on the backside is not going to be at the forefront of anyone's.
No,
family. Probably not.
No. Exactly.
Yeah, probably not.
Yep.
Okay. So from a, if your parents just absolutely will not talk about this at all, don't push it. Right. Don't make them even more angrier at you or more uncomfortable at the conversation. I think the biggest thing that I'm hearing you guys talk about is try to treat it with kid gloves at first, mm-hmm. but also know that if you don't have the conversation at some level, you're going to be left holding a lot of to-dos.
Right. And finding stuff a year and a half later and maybe more. That
yeah.
kind of thing.
And again, if you're not, if you can't engage on the conversation, you've handled it with kid gloves. Again, mom, dad, family member, if you can't talk with me or someone, please speak with someone. Get it mm-hmm. down somewhere.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a really, I mean, we joked earlier, it's a really awkward discussion. Yeah. So Garrett, I know you and your parents have always kind of talked a little bit about, you know, what goes on in the financial world. Was there any hesitancy from that, either you bringing it up or them being receptive?
Oh, I mean, so
challenges.
I probably have a little bit of a, I don't want to say unfair advantage, but my mom worked tertiary to this industry for 37 years, so I think she knew stuff was there.
Yeah,
I think the big thing for my parents, it was, hey, come speak with someone. Let them educate you on all of the things that are out the windshield for y'all, sure. And through the educational process, that kind of took that edge off having that conversation. And then they were able to engage and have those conversations on a more full scale level. But even me, the conversations that we had, I think the initial conversation had to be very soft and, hey, just come have a conversation. And then from there, if you think there's an avenue where this makes sense for y'all, then we can kind of walk down that path.
Mm-hmm. So pretty receptive is what it sounds.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think much like those familial meetings, it's the same. It's almost like you want to talk about it, but you don't know how to bring it up. And mm-hmm. and so once the first question was posed, there was a, hey, let's go learn more about this. And then from there, it became a more full scale conversation that was two-way driven.
Mm-hmm. For me, it was definitely like, I think Dad was on board, and I specifically actually like got some stuff together from Kylie, and was like, when I actually got to see my parents over the summer, it's like, Mom, I'm gonna give you some stuff that I would ask you to just read. There's absolutely no other commitment on it, but I will feel better if you read it. And just kind of approaching it from there, like, I mean, I can come up with a bazillion things to worry about in a day, but this has been on my mind. And so, like, I don't, taking some ownership, I think, of the process too.
Being involved with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Walking through it with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the flip side to that, Shannon, Eric and I probably kind of wear some of the weight of this, but then once you've had the conversation, then whether you're the one advising or have given them direction, there's kind of a financial, there's a weight there for you providing advice to family.
Absolutely.
And so was there some level of comfort, or was there to be able to say, hey, there's a team here in place that if Mom or Dad, you decide to look at any of this stuff, it's not like one person, it's not Shannon providing right. all this advice.
Yeah, no, I'm fully hands off on any kind of meetings or anything else, just that it's worth getting in the door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I can speak personally. You know, you bring up the conversation around the Thanksgiving table and everybody looks at you, and they've only known you as being the little kid running around and, you know, playing in the mud as a kid. And they look at you and think, you probably don't know anything still.
Yeah.
It's fair, mm-hmm. right? That's their perception, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's somebody else, it's going to come across a lot different.
Sure. Yeah. My family's like, hey, a few Thanksgivings ago, you ran through a sliding glass door.
We've seen this before.
Yeah.
Okay. So from a planning takeaway, you know, as awkward as this conversation could be, I think the biggest thing to take away is that if you get shut down, don't give up, because it is a very valuable conversation to have. It's a discussion that needs to take place, and it's one that really everybody knows they need to have, but they just don't want to. Seek someone out that can help, maybe somebody that can be a mediator for that discussion, kind of remove the emotional aspect of it. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of direction and some help. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you guys would suggest, just tips as people maybe bring this up?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is don't think that this can fit into like a nice square box.
Uh-uh. Oh, no.
This is a chessboard. All the pieces are thrown out, and every game or family dynamic piece, the chess pieces are going to kind of build themselves on the table differently. But to your point, kind of just have the conversation and then be willing to say, okay, chess pieces are going to kind of move around through this. It's just, there's no rigid way to package this up.
Not at all. Yep. And okay. Yeah, just, I mean, and be kind. Like nobody's trying to call anybody out for having planned really well or not.
Right.
And so, yeah, just don't make it an accusation. Like, help me help you. Kind of that kind of thing.
Well, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Plug. Okay. All right. Well, guys, I know you got a busy day. Thanks for joining us. If you have questions or concerns or suggestions on topics that you would like for us to discuss, you can reach out to us through our website at fostervictor.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at Foster Victor Wealth Advisors. Share this with a friend, send this to a parent, put the blame on us, whatever. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.
Information contained in this podcast was intended for general use, not to be used as specific advice. For content tailored to your personal situation, please contact one of our wealth coaches.